The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, sometimes the word vipassana is translated as clear seeing. The passana part means to see, and the V is kind of sometimes taken to be a, in this context, a prefix of emphasis. So seeing in a special way, or seeing with strength. I think one of the most preferred ways that I know of that people like to use this V is to say it's clear, so clear seeing. And so what does it mean to be clear in our seeing? Some people associate meditation with becoming calm. And many people go to meditation because they're stressed out or anxious or, you know, too agitated. And so they're looking for calm, and they're kind of leaning in that direction of calm, trying to make themselves calm, which is a fine thing, but calm by itself can make the mind dull. And whereas vipassana, the goal is to make the mind sharp or clear. But if you focus on emphasizing clarity and sharpness too much, then many people try too hard, and whereas they should get becoming calm first. So this balance between calm and clarity, calm and sharpness is kind of the art of it all. But today I want to say a few words about the clarity part and what that might mean. As the mind becomes quieter, meaning that we're not swept away in our thoughts and our concepts and ideas, then those don't create the filter or barrier for us to see what's happening here. And many people don't realize how much their thoughts shape how they view the world and how much they're actually living in a world of ideas and stories and memories and imagined futures. And when you're living in that world, there can be, you can get a lot of clarity sometimes about, oh, that's what happened yesterday. Oh, I said X and they said Y, and now I understand why Z happened. Oh, I have clarity now. That's fine. But that's about the stories and about the events. It's kind of in the world of thoughts and ideas that we're moving around. And many people live in that world, and that's all they know. Vipassana is actually, in a certain kind of way, stepping away from that in order to see directly and immediately, clearly, what's actually here. And one of the ways you know you're having vipassana or clear seeing is you're seeing what's in the present moment, what's actually occurring now. If you have clarity about what happened yesterday, that might be wisdom about that time, but it's not clear seeing, which has to do with here. If you are thinking about what you should do for dinner tomorrow and you get clarity, oh yeah, that's nice for you. But that's not clear seeing in the moment now. So the kind of the, by definition, what clear seeing in vipassana has to do with the present moment. But then what does it mean to see clearly here in the present? And it's very easy to live in a world of lumping things together, generalizing about things. And to some degree, or a big degree, when we see ourselves in the present moment, many of us will see ourselves through the filter of a generalized idea, identity of who we are. And we have judgments about ourselves, ideas of who we are. And so I'm in touch with myself, that people might say, but what they're in touch with might be this very general idea. So if I say that, you know, I'm a Dharma teacher, there's some truth to that, especially when I'm sitting up here giving you a Dharma talk. I'm in touch with myself, I'm a Dharma teacher. That's not clear seeing. That lends itself to a very generalized interpretation of what's happening here, who I am, but it doesn't specify the details of what's happening as I'm teaching, that I'm thinking about what to say, I'm trying to be attentive to the audience, I'm trying to reflect on what the Dharma might mean in certain situations. And there's actually all these details of what's happening here that if I only rest on the idea of I'm a Dharma teacher, gets lost, doesn't get seen. So clear seeing has a lot to do with seeing the details of phenomena, what's going on. And to give you the idea a little bit more about how we don't see the details, this is a clear glass. Someone has given me water from here. So we have this clear glass. So clear seeing sees the clear glass. But, you know, I've been given this glass many times before. So when I see this, I see the person today, the manager probably, and maybe managers in the past and people who've cared for me, and how nice it is that people think about me and bring me a glass of water. And now this glass represents all this goodness and all this specialness here of generosity to me and people caring for each other. And maybe it represents the goodness of all of this IMC in the community here. And it represents so much when I think about it that I think I really need to keep this glass close to me. This needs to be my souvenir for IMC. And I think I'll take it home because it's really my glass. And I think it's going to be my glass, my special place, my special reminder. In fact, probably this kind of glass is a good status symbol for, you know, being a really good Dharma teacher. So what I'm doing here, the clear seeing sees the glass. Then I have all these ideas, memories, associations, the meaning of it. And then it's all these ideas of myself. I'm beginning to knit together, sew together a complicated world that's based on ideas and preferences and desires and all kinds of things. I'm tying them all together. And as you listened, you probably heard it got more and more complicated, that world. So complicated that at some point I kind of lose touch with the actual clarity about the glass that's right here. I'm in the world of what it means, the connections, what I'm going to do with it. So the mind, and the Buddha talked about desire as being a sower, that's sewing together our construct, our ideas of this world that we're in. And then we have these generalities, these abstractions that we start living in. And many of people's suffering has to do with the abstractions they're living in. What we're trying to do with clear seeing in Vipassana is to start teasing apart or separating out the details of what's happening that you can't see when we're in the world of abstraction. What's actually happening in the moment? What's the details of what's happening? So so what you find in the Buddha's teachings is a lot of emphasis on making distinctions or seeing distinctions between things. And so one of the common practices associated with mindfulness is investigation. That's the English translation of the term Dhamma Vichaya. But the literal meaning of the word means to distinguish or differentiate between different phenomena. To see distinctions more clearly, to tease things apart. The word that's usually translated as consciousness in English literally means something like, some people actually translate it into English as discriminating consciousness, because it means the ability of the mind to be aware and see distinctions between things. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to find the door, because you know you have to see the distinction between the wall and the door to be able to find the door. And so the mind is constantly making distinctions, that and that's a kind of a key quality of human consciousness, is to be able to distinguish the edge of this platform sitting on from what's not the edge. And then I can carefully step off. Or to see the glass, if I want a drink, as being distinct from the clock that's in front of me, or from the bell that's in front of me, because you don't want to watch me pick up the bell and trying to drink, thinking that, you know, there's water in there, there's a glass. We make distinctions, and we don't think about these distinctions. Some of these are so natural, we kind of just make, it doesn't occur to us, we're making it. But actually, something in our brain is making these distinctions all the time. Otherwise, we wouldn't find our way, we wouldn't find the door. Clear seeing of Vipassana practice is not investigating, not a doing, but a relaxing of this movement of abstracting, conceiving, sewing things together, quieting the mind so that the natural functioning of consciousness can operate, that begins seeing distinctions. It begins teasing apart things. So with this silly example of the glass, if I kind of go down my little highway of what this glass means and associations and I want it and my status and all because of this glass, if I finally wake up from that, say, what's going on here, Gil? Let's take a good look. And then I see, oh, look at this. There's a glass. There's assigning a meaning. There's a bit of ego, conceit operating here. Look, I'm teasing those apart. There's a little, maybe it turns out that underneath that, there's a little bit of insecurity. There's a little bit of over, ambition or desire operating. And I start seeing all the little pieces of it that are going on. So we sit and meditate, for example, and we have a feeling, my meditation's not going well today. That's an abstraction. You can't really do much with an abstraction except to have a bad meditation. But what's really going on? There's the mind that's thinking. There's a desire to come back to the breathing. And the thinking mind pulls me away. I come back to my breathing. The thinking mind pulls me away. And there's a feeling of discomfort around that. There's a feeling of discouragement, a feeling of disappointment. And it's very particular, these feelings. And those feelings of disappointment or discouragement, they trigger feelings of aversion to those feelings. Something is wrong. Something's not right here. Something needs to be fixed. And that has to do with me. I'm doing this wrong. And so by doing clear seeing, we see each of those steps very clearly. Oh, that's what's happening. That's what's happening. We start teasing apart, or the mind begins to get quiet enough, we see the individual details or individual pieces of the puzzle before they're sewn together. And that gives us a lot of freedom, can give us freedom. At some point, we learn just to leave it alone. We don't get involved, we can actually have a kind of appreciation of it. Wow, it's just phenomena arising. There's this thought arising. And it, in the moment, in and of itself, before I make any stories about it or assign meaning to those having that thought, I just use, it's a thought of the moment. It'll come and go. It's here for now. I don't have to do anything with it. So as the mind relaxes and there's more clear seeing, we see better and better the individual details of what's happening in the moment. Very particular. And the example of this that a little bit inspires me, I don't know if it's an example, but it kind of represents this, is some people have pointed out that in America, in the United States, when people make flower arrangements, sometimes they make bouquets with all these flowers kind of bursting forth, Whereas if you go to Japan, in some traditional Japanese homes or tea rooms or something, they'll have a little alcove, a little shelf, an alcove in the wall, and in that alcove, there's a single vase maybe, and one flower, and that one flower is carefully chosen, and carefully arranged, and when you go in there, you see the particularity of that flower. The uniqueness, the specialness of that flower stands out. It's highlighted. Whereas in the bouquet, it's all generalized, and we kind of step back and see the display of color, which is nice, but every individual flower doesn't really stand out. It's not highlighted. So the clear seeing of Vipassana is more in that direction of beginning to appreciate the uniqueness of the unique moment expression right now. The temperature right now, the kind of light that's in the room right now. If your eyes are open, the spacious ceiling and the space around us, the sensations, the unique sensations of your body as you sit here, the different sensations, different parts of your body, the details, particularity of it. the particular way that you feel emotionally right now, after having sat here maybe this morning. And you feel, oh, the particular, and actually it turns out if you feel a particular, how you feel, you feel that particular emotional or mood in particular parts of your body. And then you notice a certain thoughts, particular thoughts that arise and come. Some of them in relationship to the mood or the sensations of the body or to the room or what's happening. And when there's clear seeing, when there's really clear seeing, what you do is you see when each of the particularity, each thought, each feeling, arises for the first time, the beginning of it. If you see it, you know, if you have a certain thought train and you don't see it until 5 minutes into it, you've missed a lot. If you see it when it first arises, then you have a lot of choice. You say, is this really what I want to get involved in? This is actually a temporary thought. It just wasn't there a moment ago. Now it's here. Do I want to get involved? Maybe I don't have to get involved. same thing with an emotion. To watch a little mood or emotion first appear is fascinating. Because our relationship to it is very different than if it's been there for a day and it's kind of like you're really kind of insisting that it's important. That first moment, it's like, oh, look at that. I'm here with the ability to see, and the emotion is there. As opposed to being the emotion or becoming it because it's been there for so long and we've identified with it. So the seeing the particularity, to tease apart this clear seeing, brings us eventually, when Vipassana practice, to a place where we can see the first arising, the beginning of phenomena. And we might also see the last, it's ending. It's no longer there. What happened to that thought? So you have a thought that says you're the worst person in the world. It's very convincing. And then, but it doesn't, it's, lo and behold, it's actually hard to sustain that thought. There's little gaps. You know, you think about what's for lunch. You know, so, and who, you know, who are you when you don't have a thought to tell you who you are? Who are you when there's no thoughts telling you who you are? Well, for one thing, you're not telling yourself that you're the worst person in the world. So who are you when you're not telling yourself that? That question points to freedom. So if you can see the ending of things when they're not there, there's something there about freedom, about not being caught in what just was. So seeing the beginning and ending of things in this clear seeing of the particularity is only really possible when we don't generalize. Generalizations tend to be more permanent. So clear seeing is to be in the present moment, tease apart the unique individual things that are happening in our sense perception, and to see the uniqueness of its moment of birth, when something first arises, and when it passes, and kind of be amazed at the wonder of all this without being troubled by it. So, and if what I'm saying makes no sense at all, because it's okay, that's a particular detail too. Not understanding.